wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Getting to the sharp end, Damo. This is what we like.
It is. It is. And it's set up an intriguing round at 23. The eight seems set, but the order of the eight is far from set. And there's still a potential for a curveball of maybe a Hawthorn doing something that no one expected them to be able to do, Bill. They're still alive.
Hawthorn.
Yep. They're still alive. They've got the hardest task to go to Perth and win and then need Adelaide to beat the Bulldogs. But it could happen.
Well, if it stays the way it is now, they are four fascinating finals to me. Brisbane and Richmond at the Gabba would be a cracking game of footy.
Yep.
Geelong West Coast at the MCG, it'll be. That's a ripper. And then Collingwood Western Bulldogs.
Oh.
What about that for a game of footy? And GWSS and the new I probably have as the team in the teams in the eight going the least
the worst,
good,
yeah.
if you
yeah.
like, are going to play each other, which is maybe nice for the Bombers.
Yeah, it is. And even the way you've couched those matchups there, Jim, there's a few contingencies at play, aren't there? I mean, Collingwood is still alive to finish top four if the
played well.
If the the Lions are able to come to the MCG and beat the Tigers here in that Sunday game. So no, it certainly is intriguing. I would have liked to have been to a little bit more intrigue around the two Adelaide teams just to be still a chance to keep around 23 up and about. And we'll talk about them
in the
negative sense.
We'll get them in the negatives. But let's touch on a couple of individuals.
Yeah.
Jared Roughead, as loved a person in football as there's been for a long, long time, and what a great day it was for him.
I loved how they did it, and they embraced it from the very first minutes, Bill, didn't they, where they just looked for him, and they went for him, and they got it to him on six occasions where he was able to kick a goal, and I don't think he had much left. He seemed to be pretty spent at the end, and it was quite funny,
wasn't
it?
To see Jordan Lewis in there, and Hodgie, and
Buddy,
of course, Bud,
Buddy,
and
Birch.
All of that was brilliant. You know, that's your farewelling a champion with great class.
Yeah, and as we speak, there is still yet to be publicly determined whether he goes around
next
in the
week.
Last game. And he wants to. He absolutely wants to. And Alistair Clarkson, who will have the call on it. And he kept his cards very close to his chest in the lead up to this game just gone, where he wouldn't guarantee him in advance, would he, until about this time last week, whether he said, yeah, okay, you're in. And look, it was the right thing to give him that game, clearly. He wanted it. And in the end, he got in there on form, in inverted commas, because of the unavailability of Mitch Lewis. Who may well be the key, whether he does play this week,
exactly,
Bill. If he comes back in, it's probably going to be hard to see Roughhead playing.
See after the game, interviewed by Jordan Lewis.
Yeah.
What about those glasses?
The clear frames.
Mate, what?
Yeah.
We got our negative. Well, not doing negatives.
No, we'll get to them later, Bill.
What about those glasses?
It was
Gibbo. Gibbo like glasses.
No, couldn't have been.
Oh, Jim, you got to have a look.
No, I did see it, but I wouldn't put him quite in the Gibbs category. Hey, not often you can kick 10 goals in a game of footy and not be the best player on the ground.
You reckon Goldstein was better than Benny Brown?
That's the most complete game I've seen a ruckman play for a long, long time.
Well, you've watched him for a long time.
34 possessions, purple.
Yeah.
He had something like 8 clearances in the first quarter or something ridiculous.
Nate Brown yesterday, Sunday footy show. First time ever, 2 tens.
Yeah.
To Goldie and to Ben Brown.
Yeah.
First time ever, 2 tens. Yep.
It was just extraordinary.
Why is he not signed up, Jim? You're the ex-president of this football club. What's happening?
I think he'll be fine.
Do you?
I don't think there'll
be any issue. Do you say that with intel or just heart?
No, a bit of heart, but I think he'll be fine. He doesn't want to go anywhere, the gold man. He's a North man and a one-club player.
But when you get to round 23, Jim.
He stays. He stays for me, gold. But he was superb, and as was Benny Brown, and as was Nick Larkey. So there were three really good stories out of that game for the Kangas.
It was good, and Ben Brown in the past two seasons has got to this late stage of the year in the contention for a Coleman medal, and has just fallen ever so short. And this year, clearly, the instructions in that particular game, once they got on top early against Port Adelaide, were, we'll free it up for him and approach it like North Melbourne once did with Wayne Carey and John Longmire down. They just go for the big boy. And it was good, wasn't it? So it was 9 straight, wasn't it? And then he finally missed one and then ended up with, I think it was a 10-3 or 10-something.
Get Melbourne down there in Blunston, so you'd think you'll get onto the scoreboard somehow down there. So it's he then got to be All-Australian, doesn't he?
I would think so if you do win the Coleman. I would think that would be enough. Certainly in a year where there hasn't been an absolute standout across 23 weeks dominant one.
So Lynch has been good in the back half, quite early. Yep. And
Cameron
the other way.
Yeah. So. If you factor in Lynch's first 8 or 9 games, they were not all Australian worthy. No. Certainly, as you say, the back half of the season has been. And maybe just Brown, if he does hold on to the Coleman, but which he leads by
4. So 62, Cameron 58, and then Tom Lynch 53.
Speaking of
and
Cameron,
there's some chance that Cameron will miss again. It is. They're still saying it's a hamstring corky, but anytime you use the word hamstring in a sentence to describe a player's unavailability, it's a worry. Obviously, a corky's better, Bill, than a strain or a tear, but it's still forcing him to miss on the weekend.
I love Chris Scott. I love the Scott brothers, as you both know. But was he watching the same game the rest of us were? Charlie was half decent, wasn't he?
Well, what you're referring to there is still mind-boggling, and we need to hear it again, Jim, because I don't know what game he was watching.
Did you think Charlie was the difference today? I thought he was good late. Kicked a couple of goals. I don't think he had a huge influence on the game, but that's my initial reaction. I thought he took his chances when they were presented, but did I misread that? Was he the difference? Yeah.
Seeing he posed the question, yeah, you did misread it.
4 second half goals, and also
when the game was there to be won.
I'm looking forward to the coaches' votes to see how many Charlie Cameron gets because he might get
5. From one coach.
Exactly.
Two great games of footy, by the way, and we're going to get onto the positives, but that was a cracker, and so was the other top 4 game.
Yeah, it was, and well, maybe we'll just keep talking about it via the individual component. Jim, the Charlie Cameron part of that game, 5 goals of the 10 kicked by Brisbane, 8 score involvements in total, Bill. And just a presence, wasn't there, when the game had to be won? I mean, the big name stood up, and Jared Lyons has become a legitimate big name of a big club this year with what he's been doing. And
I shouldn't have got to that, you know why? Because Danger kicks that goal, they get to 24 points or something.
Yep.
Tomahawk dropped one, which was a hard one going back. They lead by 24 points. They win by, say, 20.
You shouldn't lose from there.
It's a good win, isn't it?
And Radaglia had the chance, didn't he? Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's a good win. But then, and well done to Brisbane to fight back.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's Lincoln McCarthy takes a hanger and kicks the goal.
As you know, they had to kick. They were 18 points down with 7 and a bit minutes remaining. And obviously that means they had to hit the scoreboard 4 times as a minimum to win. And did. The composure that McCarthy showed, obviously to take the mark and seize that moment, that was the highlight, and not just for that game, but maybe his particular career in his 50th game. But then, no matter how easy it looks, Jim, when you're going back 25-30 out, almost straight in front, you've still got to go and do it. And
Willie
we've seen people miss it.
Willie Rioli at the MCG hit the post.
Yeah.
But speaking of individuals, we are going to get to a break, but we need to just quickly mention Dusty.
Yeah.
Just completely monstered that game of footy.
Yeah, he did. Set it up early. And, when he still hits his best, and I reckon he's probably done it 3 or 4 times this year, it's still the best in the comp by some way, isn't
it? He was extraordinary in that game. We're going to get to the positives next from a team point of view from this big round of footy.
And for Coach Sire, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
We're doing team positives now. Purple, where are you starting?
We'll start with the Bulldogs, Jim, because their now sequence of 6 wins from 8 games has left them in that beautiful position where it's in their control now what they do in September. And
good to see, Damien.
A 4-game
well
clear. And look, I like what they have been doing, and particularly in the second half of that game against GWS, Bill. They kicked the last 2 goals of the second quarter and the only 10 for the entire second half. And that's caused a heap of problems for the other team they beat on the weekend, GWS, and we'll talk about them soon. But when you're winning 6 out of 8 and doing it in the manner in which they've now done it a couple of weeks in a row, and that's inclusive of the big win against Essendon 2 weeks ago. So in a nice vein of form, midfield's as good as anyone's.
What about Josh Dunkley?
Yeah.
I reckon he's nearly the best player of the last month, wouldn't he be?
Yeah, he might even be able to take it back even 2 months or 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
The All-Australian Committee met last week, and obviously they need to get a team pretty much formulated with the 2 matches remaining. I hope, though, that they didn't totally sign off on the midfield group, because I reckon he's worthy of a discussion around a spot somewhere. And, and yesterday was yet again an enhancement of that claim. And Marcus Bontempelli, he's already polled high in Brownlows, multiple Brownlows prior to this year. And I'd be staggered if he's not in the top 5 again the way he's playing. And the forward line's got a nice little workings to it now, doesn't it?
Yep. No, well, as I said, they'll beat Adelaide, you've got to think, in Ballarat.
You just have to think that.
And then if that's the case, they will play either of Richmond or Collingwood, the way it's looking, round 1 of the finals, and neither Richmond or Collingwood will want to meet them.
No,
unless they don't want to play. Unless they somehow, Jim, get up to 7th spot, which they could do, it's possible they'll end up playing the team that they just smashed yesterday back at the same venue in that first week of finals.
You like the work of Shacky? Good on him. Because he's been good,
hasn't he? Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Has found himself in the VFL as well.
He nearly gone, nearly would have had enough, he would have thought, and he's come back beautifully.
Yeah, body's in far better football condition than it was this time last year. And
good on him.
He just looks as though he's belonging out there now too, doesn't he, Bill? So
he does.
And they're playing around him too.
Well done to the Bombers.
Yeah, well done to them, because when you lose the previous 2 weeks by a combined tally of 163 points, it just seemed forlorn, didn't it, what was going on? But they went to Perth, and maybe that was what they needed to do, just get away, get on a road trip, regroup. Certainly Hurley coming back in, Saad coming back in was obviously of
What about Hurley? Coming, I thought he'd come back early, but he was very good.
He looked good, didn't he? Yeah. And Saad, I mean, look, it's not as if it's a secret, but every time he's there, they're so much better, aren't they? And I just love a response. And I thought they, and we talked about North Melbourne before, they both had to respond to the horrors of the previous week. We know what happened with North when they kicked one goal against Geelong, and they responded, and Essendon actually responded in an even greater way by going to Perth to beat Fremantle.
It helped that Fremantle dropped that one the week before. If they'd have won that, it would have been a different game of footy, I reckon.
Yep.
Because they're obviously their season was done. Loved Sandy and Hayden Ballantyne at the end.
Yeah,
did you see that fact?
Yeah, he jumped on his back.
Well, no chance of picking Sandy up.
That's
I don't care how many blokes you are.
You couldn't, could you?
No. I love
like
the
a
fact
jockey,
that
wouldn't he?
Exactly. Not even if the big Pav was still there, I don't think he would have attempted it, would he? You just you couldn't. But look, what we've seen in the last 3 years, particularly with those two guys, has been some pretty ordinary footy. But if you package it up and reflect upon their impact in a team which was successful without winning the big one, they were as crucial to the morale of that team as any person in that club's history. And that's inclusive
players.
Of Matty Pavlich as well and Nate Fyfe. So, no, I like the way they were both given that farewell game, and they didn't get the win, but they got the occasion to celebrate.
And the Blues just found a way over the Saints.
Yeah, there's a lot of injuries, aren't there? When you look at it, the Curnow's out and Wiedering was out. And then you've just had the older guys in... Casbold, who's just been one of the great stories of the year. Jones was another one who was out. Cruiser played really well. Thomas, as you discussed yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show, Bill, he was really good in his second last game
I'll
of
tell
footy.
You what he's doing. He's defending really well.
Thomas is.
Lee told me to say that. So.
Did he?
okay. That was great. But I do love, speaking of retirements, what about this week, Sydney? They play St Kilda up there at the SCG.
Yep.
Farewell games to Kieran Jack, announced his retirement today.
Yes.
McVeigh, maybe.
If he can get back in. Yeah.
Nick Smith will be involved in that somewhere.
Yep.
Heath Grundy will be involved in that somewhere. And then Buddy could play his 300th game. So that's a huge...
It's a big game if Buddy comes in to be part of that occasion. And he has certainly spent, Bill, the previous 3 weeks trying to get himself to the position where either today, this afternoon, tomorrow, can make a decision on it.
My spies tell me, Damien, that he's been training for the last 2 weeks pretty good.
Correct.
Your
spies are on the money there, Bill. That they may still choose to just err on the side of caution and wonder why they would do it. But I really hope, like you do, that they do unleash him for what would be.
Be a big
I
day
for his numbers before. He's only played the 9 games, but he's kicked 20. Oh, I had it before. I think it was 23 goals out of those 9 games. So he was actually impacting when he was still playing. But that's a long time ago now, given he's now had that hamstring now twice.
Yeah, I don't think the West Coast Eagles fans would have. They wouldn't have lost any fans, but you also couldn't leave that game purple thinking they deserved to win. I think Richmond, for the longer period of that game, were better.
Yep.
Geez, they love playing in the wet.
Yeah, they do, don't
they? As soon as it rains, Richmond are unbelievable.
And it rains a lot at the MCG when they're playing.
When they play.
I know. Yeah. That's strange how that works out.
They've just got that right formula, haven't they, for that style of game. Having said that, they did get themselves back into the contest before halftime when it was still dry and in a Melbourne winter sense, even warm, wasn't it, with that almost northerly that was blowing. But, yeah, look, they did everything right after quarter time. They did get blown away early, but they regrouped and measured. And as you touched on before, Jim, just a couple of isolated mistakes by Tom Barras, which are not going to be nice viewing for him in the ISO tapes that the club's given.
Well, and some of their really experienced players too. Shannon Hearn missing with that short ball that just turned straight around and went through for a goal. But Tommy, just take the ball through for a behind.
You can do that.
Get a kick in and live to fight another day.
I don't like to do that. Have you mentioned Collingwood?
I was about to mention Collingwood, Bill.
Oh, good.
What Jamie Elliott's been able to do, just with the constant injury he's had and the setbacks, and even within this 2019 season, he's had periods on the sidelines where we didn't know if he was going to come back with impact. And now he gets around 22 and he's kicking 5 goals in a game and in a vibrant way. Josh Thomas, again, he got dropped to the VFL this season, but he kicked nearly 40 goals last year. He's crucial as well. And they've got a scenario now where the first week of finals, and they'll still be hoping that's a qualifying final, but either way, you're going to have a decision to be made, and they will do it. Stevenson will come straight back in after the gambling ban. DeGoey will come straight back in.
And Darcy
I
Moore.
Would leave Darcy Moore out of this round 23 week, Bill, and just have him absolutely right to
three
go.
Good so, ins.
Three good ins, which does come with trepidation, doesn't it, when you're bringing that many people in, having missed that much footy, each of them. and with soft tissues too. In the case of Moore and De Goey.
Oh, the state of South Australia.
Oh, better be a public holiday or something today, wouldn't they?
We'll get to that next.
Damien Barrett for Coates Hires in the studio.
We're coming into this round. Port Adelaide and Adelaide are thinking, right, we've just got to win this game of footy that we've got ahead of us.
Yeah.
Adelaide at home against Collingwood. Port Adelaide travelling to North. It only kicked a goal a week before.
Yep.
We win that and we get to the final round of the year.
And we're alive at least.
To play in a final.
Yeah.
And then they both got poleaxed.
All hell broke loose
Adelaide,
on both fronts.
Highest ever losing margin at the Adelaide Oval.
At the Adelaide Oval, yep. Since 2014 when it was reinstated as a venue of regular use. And the Port game was just a shocking game against North Melbourne. And it just goes to show that the queries and question marks that have been on those two clubs all year are well and truly valid to be asked, because you don't get to this stage of the season, Jim, with those sorts of results.
All right. So this for me would be the disappointment, Fat. Firstly, for Adelaide,
yep.
They know how well Collingwood travel. You know, as soon as Collingwood get in the plane, they're going to be very, very tough
exactly
to beat.
Right.
So you know what you got to bring to that game.
So you start well, Jim.
Which they couldn't. They were bloody hopeless. Then, if you're Port Adelaide, you go, what's the one thing in North Melbourne's DNA?
Response.
When they have a shocker, they
do
always respond.
They do.
So we know what they're going to bring.
Yep.
It was 7-1 or something.
At quarter time, Jim, it was 6-3-1. Yeah. One.
So it's, that's what would really disappoint Pike and Hinkley.
So is it Pike and Hinkley? Or is it the players, or is it the style of game they play? What?
You're valid to ask it the way you've asked it, Bill, but it's an all-in effect, isn't it, on all of them? And
well, what's
both happened? Both clubs have their coaches contracted for multiple years beyond this one. But the way that the noises have come, particularly out of Port Adelaide, if they weren't to make the finals, there has to be ramifications somewhere, doesn't there? The way they keep talking about failure to make finals is a failure.
Chairman has, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it has. And there's going to be changes at the Crows, and they've already effectively mooted those changes. Josh Jenkins just won't be there. That's a given.
After signing a multiple contract, an expensive one.
Greenwood is wanted by other clubs. Brad Crouch has got a lot of interest from other clubs, particularly St Kilda. He's contracted, so he's in a different situation. And obviously, Sam Jacobs, who came in for this game, Bill, I'd be staggered if he's there next year. And the way the other clubs are talking is he won't be. So there's already significant change afoot there. And they've got an ageing list which needs to be addressed, given they're now failing to make finals.
It just doesn't seem there's a connect with the coach and the players. And it hasn't been since that camp. And I know that's silly saying going back to the camp, but ever since then, it's just blowing up over there.
Yeah, it has. And while they hate you, and you do keep raising it.
Bill, stop raising it.
The problem was traced back to that period of time, at least, the morale that was sapped out of the joint as a result.
Well, and Port Adelaide, you've also got a question. The distance between their best and worst, which is cavernous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the good sides, that just doesn't happen.
Cavernous.
You know, if they have a bad day, they still push teams hard and drop it by 10 or 15 points and stay in the game. Port's worst days are horrific.
Yeah, and it's just, you never know what you're going to get, do you? In rounds 5 and 6, they won consecutive games. In rounds 20 and 21, they won consecutive games. And that's the sequence of events they've had this year. In terms of being able to win matches consecutively, they just can't do it. And as you say, it was all for them to play. They were favourite in that game.
Yep.
They
should.
I mean, if they win the game of footy, they're in the eight, and they've got a different scenario this week.
Well, then they've got the game at home against, who are they playing?
This week?
Fremantle. Freo at the Adelaide Oval. So they beat North, they beat Freo, they're guaranteed to play in a final.
It's a nice sequence if they'd have been able to get over North, but they were so far off it wasn't
trust
funny.
Them. Yeah. Can't trust them.
No. So there were lots of irrelevant games for me, Purple. Melbourne, no point even discussing
it. It's almost not, is it? I mean, we did on the Saturday rub, didn't we, through the words of Max Gawn, who has been one guaranteed player who's been able to, I feel, hold his head up as high as he wants to, but there's not too many others who can do it.
Freo, I don't think there's any point, but GWS I want to ask you about.
Yeah, that's a big
because they are going to play in a final, and they are in all sorts.
For 2 weeks in a row, and the previous week was the snow game against Hawthorn in Canberra, didn't score a goal after half-time, and then didn't score again a goal after half-time in the most recent game yesterday against the Western Bulldogs. That takes some doing for a team that's sixth on the ladder as we speak. To not score after half time in the past two matches.
But Purple, both of those games played against teams at the time outside the eight.
Outside the eight.
So you're getting beaten badly by two teams that at the time were ninth and tenth.
And teams that they were on the bookies markets fresh going into the game were clear favourites in.
Do we give them injury or is it
just I'm not. Because I'll give them injury in terms of the loss, but not the manner of the past two losses. Yeah. There's something not right there. There's a, to use your word, Bill, disconnect. On the Adelaide, there's a disconnect in some form. And I'm not equipped enough to delve deep into it as the footy experts are, Jim. But we've seen enough now this year that just to know that there's a big doubt and a big question mark over what they're prepared to dish up every single week. Studs up. What do we make of the Jack Riewoldt?
I tell you what, I
boots in the back.
Lindsay Thomas sliding debacle times two.
Yeah.
A complete overreaction to something that was Toby Green a couple of times. So all it needed to be was, righto, let's just make sure that no one's guarding their space with their studs up.
Yep.
That's fine. But Jack Riewoldt's taking a mark. He's in a marking contest.
They're very different moments, aren't they, to what you referred to there with the Toby Green, where he was putting his boot out. Again, it was instinctive in Toby Green's world, but it was, an issue that we didn't want in the game.
No.
But that's not what Jack Riewoldt did yesterday at the MCG.
They weren't studs up.
Well, they were under the new guidelines that the umpires have been told to operate on this year, but it hasn't been paid much. Jeremy Howe copped it earlier in the year, but they're the three examples, two on Riewoldt in the one game and Jeremy Howe. They're the only three that I can recall this year.
Get rid of it.
Well, I expect this statement, Jim. The AFL obviously meets on a Monday, as it does every single week within a season of footy, and they were certainly discussing it, and my feeling was they were going to come out in some form with some clarity.
But they'll support it because that is the current interpretation. I'm saying get rid of the interpretation.
Yeah,
in the off-season, just go, right, we've got this wrong, we need to fix it.
Yep, I reckon that's probably the way it should happen, but whether they can even change it going into the finals, I think that would be what most football people would like.
Right, I'm interested in the bus.
Oh.
I want to know where they're going.
And where they're not going anymore.
It's going west, Bill.
Is it still down at Geelong or you've moved it?
Oh, hello.
No, we'll keep it there.
What?
We'll keep that. No, just a little one there. We've got a little one down at Olympic Park Precinct for Melbourne Footy Club, and we're going to send the two big 48-seaters across the highway to Adelaide. One for the Crows.
What about the Suns?
No.
Wow.
We're giving up.
It's 29 degrees out there today, Jim.
They've had three wins for the year and are parked on the bottom of the ladder, and they're not even busworthy.
Nah.
They're that irrelevant,
are they
not
in the
even going to send them a bus.
No, Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll just give them a priority pick, I reckon.
Look forward to done with it. Don't ever speak those
You words. Don't like that, do
you? No, never. See you Wednesday, Purple.
See you then.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coat Hire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.